Lord, we can't live without your breath. We thank you that you've called us to be lungs in a polluted society. Polluted not so much with carbons, but with toxic relationships, with stinking thinking, with bitter roots, with death culture mentality. We long to be deeply rooted in you, Jesus, and draw from the depths of your being the nourishment we need for this day. Hallelujah. Great love to all you darling children of the King this morning. When I stood here the first morning on Sunday, I was very aware that many of you are called to the gift of intercessory prayer. And in the process, I sensed you were carrying a cultural depression on your shoulders. Many people in our land are in woeful situations and in deep despair. And as intercessors, I saw you carrying the weight. And I encourage you, as you pray and as you give yourselves as life-giving instruments on behalf of others, that you keep the weight of the knowledge filtered to Jesus. You can't carry it. His burden is light for you. He can handle it. And we thank you, Jesus, that your blood this day spills forth from your sacred heart into the uttermost parts of our souls and brain cells and to the peoples of this land and beyond. Hallelujah. Today's talk is hot off the press. It came in the night, and my Kleenex box would not contain it. I actually had to get a ledger sheet. And I'd like for you to write down these scriptures if you have a pen in hand, because I think you'll need them for future reference. Romans 9 and 10. Don't become so absorbed with your God projects that you don't notice God right in front of you, like a huge rock in the middle of the road. Careful. Careful, my people. I've put a huge stone on the road to Mount Zion, the Mount of Praise. Mount Zion, the Mount of Praise. A stone you can't get around. The stone is me, saith the Lord. If you're looking for me, you'll find me on the way, not in the way. And then over in Romans, 1 Corinthians 10. Remember our history, friends, and be warned. All our ancestors were led by the providential cloud and taken miraculously through the sea. They went through the waters and a baptism of fire. They ate what God provided for that day. God's fountain for them was steadfast, and the rock was Christ. Be careful not to turn your religion into a circus.
I am of which there is children, but traveling through this world of woe, but there's no sickness, toil, nor danger in that bright land. I'm going there to see my father. I'm going there no more to roam. I'm just a boy with no Jordan. I'm just a
Yes, we are on a sacred pilgrimage. And New Englanders, there's a mighty mandate from heaven on your lives. And I'm speaking to New Englanders. You share a history that none of us in the nation but you have experienced. But we shall reap the fruit of your history through your intercession. You're not forgotten up in these woods. God loves birch trees and Bostonians. And it's not by accident that I stand in this environment here in beautiful New Hampshire, that you're one of the capitals of rocks and granite. There are 6,000 quadrillion rocks in the world. I don't think we have a shortage of rocks. But it's significant because a rock is steadfast. It will not wither, and you can count on it for support and endurance. The Lord says he will plant us in the land. Regardless of the circumstances of your birth, your conception, you were not an accident. It was in the heart of God that you be planted in this land, in the northeast,
for this season of time. So you don't have to blame anymore. There's no bastard children in this nation. We're all the loving, ordained children, straight from the heart of God. And use your parents to bring you forward. And for that, you can be blessed. If you walk in line with what God has written in your heart, we don't have room to blame. Your blame keeps wounds open. And thanksgiving opens us up to avenues of magnificent vision and fulfillment.
I see some of you sort of feel like you're on overload. I understand. We've had to ingest a lot these few days. But there's this beautiful author named Mr. Fire. I think it's Bruce Fire. In his suggestion, if you feel like you're on overload or stress, is to take a walk with a turtle. So today, you just might take that walk with a turtle. My mother came to me a couple of weeks ago. Mother had a marvelous humor. Still does. You know, you're the same person on the other side of the veil you are on this. You just are more whole. You are whole. And she said to me, "Do you know why Jesus was born in a barn?" And I just sort of stared at her and laughed. And Mama said, "Because he is very stable." I could not have made that up. My mother loved puns. So she threw that one at me and she moved on. Isn't that cute? Never seek the presence of your loved ones from the other side. You don't have to. Jesus has a way of allowing that interchange when it's necessary. And then you just give thanks and release. Give thanks and release. You don't need a medium. You've got an intercessor in Jesus. And he'll keep you well secured emotionally and physically. I told you a little bit of my story last night, and you have your story. Job said, "If I were in your shoes, I'd go straight to God." Well, if you're in my shoes, you have no choice but to go straight to God. But it's time to put on our traveling shoes, people. You have learned from of him for here, what, 90 years? You said this camp was 90 years old? Okay, 42. That's over my lifetime. That's pretty good years. All right. It's time for the put on your traveling shoes. Where your life has felt like you were on a crash course. Your ship was wrecked. I encourage you, like Paul, to take hold of the broken pieces of that wrecked ship in your life. Don't run from it. Take hold of a piece of that ship and ride that broken piece to shore. And Jesus will meet you there. Jesus will meet you there. For that mandate that stands before you. If you need life, start giving out life. Gandhi said, be the change that you want to see in this world. Be the change you want to see in this world. We Democrats get mad at the Republicans. Republicans have to strut their stuff to the Democrats. There's tremendous conflict in our country right now on many levels. And I was running this by my Uncle Vernon. And he said, well, you know, we need the liberals and the conservatives. He said, after all, if we need to be reeled in a little bit, we need a conservative Jesus. But if we're desperate for healing and love, who wants a conservative Jesus? We want a liberal Jesus. Amen. Liberal with love. Liberal with freedom. Liberal with goodness. Isn't that marvelous?
Amen.
It's both and. Both and. One of my favorite oratorios is when the mezzo-soprano stands in the Messiah and sings, comfort ye, my people. And I decided the other day, I always thought that was a prayer to God to comfort his people. But I understood it to mean that this was the 11th commandment to us, to comfort one another. Comfort is a big word. It does not mean cotton. It means to see food with tenderness. See you food to wholeness. We Christians love to pray and love them and leave them. Love them and leave them. Comfort ye my people. It's walking through the valley. Those who know me. They don't need your advice. God knows they'll be a peace of mind. You will not be discouraged. But on your walk, if you need comfort from symptom to symptom, know that you're in the will of God and that He has purposed you to stand and to walk. You have to be in sensibility. I love the name of God. David Potts, a new project. Intention retreat. We choose our God. Precision. He is not nebulous. He's very clear. But we have to, but He doesn't put Himself in neon lights. We have to find Him in the hidden. So those hidden places are right inside of you. Regardless of these treasure items, he didn't realize, or maybe he did, that he was telling us a parable. Because treasure items are resident within you and within me. But we have to walk with Jesus, walk backwards into the future. Walk backwards into knowledge for the gold mines to surface within. And then we share the value of that relationship with one another.
Some of us have to be tamed for whatever we're not listening.
Is this making sense? So as we walk, as I was walking back into the future, I came across a saint that I'd never heard of, and I had fallen in love with him. His name is Polycarp. Polycarp.
And Polycarp was born into a home that did not have a Christian mindset, and they really didn't care much about him. He sort of raised himself. And when he got to be about 9 or 10, this very awful woman found him and took him into her home and provided for him and taught him the things of the Lord. And Polycarp became a direct student of the Apostle John. And then in his adult life, Polycarp was very instrumental in addressing some of the deceits and lies that were attacking themselves in the early Christian church. Sort of like the CFO. There is something. You may have died for CFO, but there is something. And so, Polycarp was arrested for being a Christian. And they tortured him terribly. And they told Polycarp, the heart is open, if you declare Caesar as your Lord, will release you. And he said, my Lord has been so faithful to my life. I will not betray you. So they tortured him to mourn. If you'll say Caesar is Lord, we'll unshackle you. My Jesus has been faithful to my life. I will not betray him. So they burned Polycarp. And God would join myself. I am not more than you. I would die before God to say. But what I do know is God has equipped us for this hour. And we may see more in this life. We may in this time. If you're walking in Jesus, he's the same Jesus on this side of the veil as he is on the other side of the veil. And he will see us through in the sacred over which you so beautifully sing. David used a term the other one that I taught us that I never heard. He said, power up! Evil power up. It is the season. The tablets, the scrolls are opening up. And a new dimension of his glory is ascending on the earth amidst all this chaos and storm we find ourselves in. Social and personal. Stand out a tremendous same time of office for a man, the findings change remarkably. As you can tell, I am not hungry. But, like Kennedy, but it was alright, because we have what we have, you know, we found all of life, what we need, we don't need it again. Fortunately, we need another money. We We know a dead rat is in there. And I want you to just be very confident that the wall and his reserves are greater than the federal reserve. And we don't have to monitor our life on what happens in Washington or that. But the government is on his shoulders, and he has charge of it.
Now, as we go back into the future, knowing that the blood of Christ covers our past, our present, and our future before we even get there. I want you to hearken and hear my speech. The Lord is a consuming fire, and a new earth is unfolding right before your eyes. We have to pray for eyes to see. And I want you to know, because what you're called to do here as New Englanders, righteousness is going to prevail in our land. I've already stated that the divine picture is the wedding of heaven to earth. Not so much dying and going to heaven, but heaven wedding itself to earth in the eternal now. There is a rock in your land up here in New England. A lump of mass of hard consolidated mineral matter. It is stable like Jesus and dependable. And from this rock, sweet incense is going to bellow up from the bowels of the earth. I've never been to Plymouth Rock physically, but a few months ago, I went there in my spirit. And what I saw, and I'm not sure, you can tell me if I'm wrong, I think there is an actual rock, they say, is where the pilgrims landed. But it's highly commercialized. Am I right? But just down below from that rock is the craggy coast. And I saw a small grove of trees. And I believe it is, you know, anywhere Jesus walks is holy land. Anywhere, from within out, is holy land. But the land, the actual soil, I believe, I don't ever say, thus saith the Lord, I ain't that secure. But I believe this is truth. I think there are spots of land that have captured history and memory, and the power that was resident within those who went before us. And it's waiting to be tapped in our culture today. For instance, we know Israel has holy vibrations. You go to Lourdes and marvelous miracles happen. It's a spot in the land, a power that's been captured. And so I saw at Plymouth Rock, not where they say it is in that commercial, whatever that is, I'm not sure, but down just a few feet down by the craggy coast in a little spot of trees is where the Lord is going to bring many of you one at a time. You will not know when or where until he speaks. There will be no advertisement, no setting up committee meetings. This is not an organization. You will be known as the gathering, just simply the gathering. Some of you will come by car, and some of you will be transported in the spirit. This is a powerful time. It will start small. There may be one of you. There may be two of you. And just merely through the guidance of the Holy Ghost, the gathering will expand. Even as he expands our tents, you New Englanders will expand at this craggy spot at Plymouth Rock. You see, the pilgrims came over here and they had signed the Mayflower Compact, as you well know, with the Virginia Company. And they were supposed to land on the Virginia coast. But it didn't happen. Instead, they arrived on your rocky coast of Massachusetts in 1620. And the moral of that story is, we plan our destination, and God sends us somewhere else. You'll never know where the gathering is just by responding with him. And the pilgrims paid a great price in coming here. Many were lost at sea. And you know, I think some of these tsunamis, the Bermuda Triangle, are symbolic that they're wailing from many people who were lost at sea. I think the Bermuda Triangle is the cries of the slaves who died at sea in agony. And the sea is yet crying, bellowing for their groans. The Bible says, if we don't praise the Lord, the rocks and trees will cry out. Amen. And there is a crying out. And the Lord's waiting for us to say, yes, Lord, I'm listening. I desire the more of you, Jesus. So this landlocked memory in the soil, this land that received the pilgrims who bore the light of God, the cross of Jesus, these pilgrims, 42 people remained, and most of them were sick and they buried the dead. And that's a great sacrifice for freedom. And but their lives were not in vain. And I do believe there's a call on your life as 21st century pilgrims in New England to partake of the living water and go to the rock down by that craggy coast when God speaks. And simply pray. And simply pray. And the healing that shall come forth from that rock and your loyalty to the one who lives within you. The magnificent grace of God is going to be manifested in ways we can't even fathom. Now, regardless whether you live in California, well, maybe not California, but Florida or Virginia. No, I love California. But it is different. Isn't it, Debbie? We're all called to this sacred pilgrimage to everlasting life, beginning in the here and now. So, this day, I walk with you. I stand with you. It's my commitment to you. And I hope you will join me in new consecration to the Lord Jesus Christ and to all his peoples. Because I believe consecration is the antidote to desperation. Consecration is the antidote to desperation. So Lord, we present ourselves and ask you to consecrate us, anoint us for more of your presence, for the building up of your kingdom here in the earth, for purity of spirit, for clarity in our mindset, eardrums, to hear the trouble call from the Lion of Judah. Come ye, my people, and gather in my name, in the quiet and in the hidden places. And my resurrection power shall be released from the soil through your prayers and the influence of your life in the Lord Jesus. Take hold this day of the divine spark. Walk in forevermore. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock, he's my fortress, he's my deliverer, in him will I trust. Praise the name of Tom wrote a song, this punchline is, the dead are rock and rolling while the living are asleep in bed. Go rock and roll with Jesus and each other. Right.